broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. The promotion of God, family, and country. The protection of life, liberty, and property. That's who we are. That's what we do in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley just left the green room and jumps on air with yours truly. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing today? Everything good in your neck of the woods and throughout the world? I mean, you know, we'll just have to see how it develops today. There's always something, you know.
Define good, my friend. God is good. The hope in liberty is great. I should say God is great. The hope in liberty is good. And, you know, all I can tell you is that things are somewhat good. We've become a warlike people. We talked last hour in detail about a few things, but we talked specifically about this article, The False Gods We Worship. Spencer W. Kimball wrote it back in the 70s, where he highlights, why do we train the man in the art of war and then call him a patriot? Why are we become a more warlike people? And then we kind of talked about, what are we to fear when God is with us? Look, we got these false gods that we're literally indulging in every single day. Gods of chrome and money and this and that. And we're all distracted from what matters while Joe Biden literally is trying to take us to war. Biden pledges. He calls the Ukraine leader and pledges unwavering support. Why is the Biden administration pushing the Ukraine to attack Russia? And then we would say, well, by golly, because Russia's out of control and we gotta have war over there so we don't have war over here. And we fall into all these lies. As we fund and promote war, we become the world's bully. We're in over 130-plus nations militarily speaking, and it is in stark contrast to, in my opinion, one of the greatest generals in the world, George Washington, who said we ought to have a humble foreign policy. We ought to stay out of the affairs of foreign sovereign nations. And, wow, what the heck's going on, Doctor?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, where do we go with this? You look at the idiocy, and I, that's the nicest thing I can call it. You can't say some of the words on the air, I understand, but the buffoonery, the people that lead this nation right now, the vast majority of them are not qualified to lead. But the fact of the matter, I don't know if you remember this or not, but it was probably about 5.5 years ago. We were in Washington, D.C. in September, and we were delivering a message to Congress, you know, all of the congressional offices. You remember the event, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, man, I was with the good doctor live in D.C., baby.
Yes, we were. And one of the things that occurred there was a Ukrainian presentation in front of Congress. And the demonstration of support for the people, for us to, you know, this is a time bomb waiting to happen. The troops are lined up on both sides of the boundaries. And what was happening, and I don't know if you remember, but when we went out of the Congress and on the streets, the people were lined, the limousines left, and there was all sorts of Ukrainian flags and everything else like that. Ukraine was led, and probably still is, by an oligarchy that are every bit as abominable as Putin. And people were wanting to have us engage in that. This has been going on for a long time, but here's the deal. There's talk of the Ukraine coming into NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And that was signed back in 1949. And that treaty agreement basically says anybody gets attacked in our group, we all go to war on their behalf. And that's what we're in Afghanistan with right now, is a NATO
which
alignment.
By the way, we should never consent to in a sovereign nation such as America in the first place. It's a betrayal of principle.
Well, there's no question about that. And in fact, the Founding Fathers absolutely agreed, and not agreed, well, yeah, they agreed, but they also published and spoke eloquently in regards to the fact that this idea that we can be taken into a war by a treaty agreement is absolutely false. It has to go through the constitutional process, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. Congress has to declare it. Truman broke the bank, if you will, back when North Korea invaded South Korea, and the United Nations says, everybody's got to line up against North Korea. Of course, that was a setup, and we can go through that someday if you want. But the fact of the matter is, It was totally false. Truman says, no, 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 I don't need a declaration of war. I've got a treaty in my back pocket that says we got to go to war. Well, that's what they're trying to do, is get NATO to align with Ukraine. And people, Ukraine and Russia already are shooting at each other. It's just that it hasn't turned out to be as big a conflagration as it's going to be someday. And by the way, this is all a replay of June of 1914, when all of the entangling alliances that were lined up when the Archduke of Austria was killed by a Serbian, he's a member of the Black Hand, a secret combination that was aligned with the Serbian government. And Austria declared war against Serbia. Serbia turned to big brother Russia. Russia declared war against Austria. Austria turned to big brother Germany. I mean, it was a domino effect. And within about a month, maybe a month and a half, the whole Europe was engulfed in a conflagration that took tens of millions of lives, resulted in the Bolshevik takeover in Russia, and these entangling alliances that the Founding Fathers pled with us not to engage with are lined up again today. I mean, we've got Montenegro in NATO. Holy cow, what do they bring to our, you know, and why would we go to war for them? I mean, NATO is becoming a catch basin of rejects that want Big Brother to go to war on their behalf, if in fact it ever comes down to that. So
the reason the Founding Fathers put in the Constitution that Congress was to be in charge of declaring war and handle that is so that a president without a level head didn't just take us into foreign conflicts. It was certainly never designed to sign away to foreign powers for decision-making or global governance or a group of organizations backed by leaders who do not have a constitutional republic in mind, where checks and balances reign supreme, where, we the people are supposed to manage our Congress critters. And when we are even thinking about going to war, it's supposed to become a national discussion and a debate. Where do the people stand and why? Where does your Congress representative stand and why? How would we fund it? What would be our objectives? What would be the timeline to get in and get out? What would be our general strategy? Now, I get detailed, you know, in the game. I don't want to use a game analogy, but in the game, I get that judgment calls need to be made in the theater of war. I understand. But it was generally meant for the American people to be behind something and authorize something via the broadest group of people they could get, the House and the Senate. Take the politics out of the discussions, and meant to literally let calm heads prevail, but yet define objectives and do what needs to be done to protect the greatest country on the face of the earth. It was intentionally designed to prevent us from going to war unless absolutely justifiable and necessary. And we've circumvented all that in modern day, Doctor.
Well, absolutely. What the intent was, and we could give you extensive review of statements by the American Founding Fathers, because they were not just kind of nibbling around the edges. They were absolutely to the mat serious about this. Now, what they were very serious students of history, observers of human nature, and all those kinds of things. And what they had observed is that the monarchs of Europe were constantly getting ticked off at each other. One of the monarchs would say, I'm going to take that boy to the woodshed and I'm going to spank him. And so the people of the nations were brought into the misery by the idiocy of their leaders. And that's kind of about what I was saying at the beginning of this broadcast. And so what would happen is that the leaders made it miserable for the people, and their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I mean, the people got taxed at the very least. But they were sent to battle. They bled all over the fields of Europe constantly. And everybody was put at risk because of the stupidity of leadership. So that's why the American Founding Fathers designed it the way they did. They put this going to war thing representatives have the duty. They take a sacred oath to keep their actions within those bounds. They are to examine the issues, and then, because they're closest to the people will pay for the battles, no matter how it goes, whether it's money or wounds or blood or death. and families losing loved ones, all of that kind of stuff. The trusted representatives were to engage and analyze and take
Dr.
it to
Bradley?
The end. Yes.
Excellent commentary, excellent breakdown on this. It was designed. And the idea was to use the brilliance of the American people in the broader context of the masses to say, hey, wait a minute, let's think about this. We can't fund it. We don't have an objective. Hey, this is not our fight anyway. And the effort was to try to get the American people to brain trust and back away from this and use some of the most brilliant minds and broadest perspectives to stop the rash decisions of dictators and others with too much power, right? All right, so there you have it. Very interesting commentary. Quick pause. We're having a little bit of technical glitches. We'll get Dr. Bradley back and be right back with you. How do you like that? By the way, do you want raw honey delivered directly to your door? To learn more, get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can text him or...
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman back with Dr. Scott Bradley. Dr. Scott's goal, lifelong goal, to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. So, Doctor, sorry for the technical glitches there a little bit. Back with you live, discussing we become a warlike people, though. The founding fathers understood this because they saw these conflicts from dictators all around the world and monarchs and others who simply, because of pride and too much power, would simply throw caution to the wind. The goal was to create a level-headed, common-sense approach. The masses don't want war because their children oftentimes end up in it. And so the goal was to back away from war and use every way to prevent war unless it was absolutely necessary. Doctor?
You know, there's so much we could talk about in this particular venue, but let me just give you a few little statements by the American Founding Fathers, and it's just stark contrast to what we're seeing today. Here's Washington in his farewell address. Why forego the advantage of a so peculiar a situation? Why quit our own to stand upon foreign ground? Why, by interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe, entangle our peace and prosperity with the toils of European ambition, rivalship, interest, humor, or caprice? Okay, then Jefferson. I know that it is a maxim with us, and I think it is a wise one, not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of Europe. Here's another one by Jefferson. I deem it one of the essential principles of our government, and consequently one which ought to shape its administration, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. And then one more. We could go on for the rest of the program with this. But here's a guy that was born and bred to diplomacy, John Quincy Adams. He made this statement. America has abstained from interference with the concerns of others, even when the conflict has been for principles to which she clings. She goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. I mean, like I say, we could go on the rest of the program. We would hardly have to take a breath. This was such a well-founded truth. And in modern America, with the advent of the globalist perspectives that, you know, Woodrow Wilson attempted to foist on America, the incoming of the United Nations, the NATO, CETO, CENTO, and Zeus, I mean, all of these stupid treaties that engage us in the wars of whomever, that's why we were in Southeast Asia, by the way. That was the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. And of course, the United Nations did it in Korea. And look what happened in Bosnia. The United Nations went in and screwed it up, and so they turned it over to NATO. That's how we ended up in Bosnia. That's where World War I started. Where we are in Afghanistan right now is a NATO operation. Every single one of these unending wars is because we violated the baseline principle that was established under the United States Constitution, and we do not engage in wars unless it follows a constitutional process, and that is after due deliberation, everybody stands tall and decides what we're going to do. And it is the most onerous burden that ever faces any nation, and that's why it has to jump through the hoops. But buffoons run this nation now, and I don't know how the people can even think that we have a constitution that they're operating under. We could go back to it, but we don't. I don't know. I'll let you take a breath now, Sam, and do your
statement.
All right.
This is critical to understand, though, ladies and gentlemen. Look, we the people may or may not be able to make decisions on the, quote, international stage about war, okay? But we really need to ask ourselves some fundamental questions internally in our individual viewpoints and with our families, because really family is the fundamental unit of society. And society is built of a number of families. So listen carefully. Why do we train a man in the art of war and call him a patriot? Why have we become a warlike people? And the answer is, what are we to fear when the Lord is with us? So the point is that the Lord is not with us because we've turned our back on God. And when we turn our back on God, then war and famine and destruction is our bedfellow. If we repent and turn to God Almighty, peace and prosperity and stability and safety becomes our blessing. Doctor?
Absolutely. What war does, again, well, let me just read you what St. George Tucker said. I mean, you need to, and this kind of captures the essence of what I'm trying to say about that. Tucker was the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era, and we can defend that rather well. But here's what he said. The term war embraces the extremes of human misery and iniquity. It is alike the offspring of the one and the parent of the other. What else is the history of war from the earliest ages to the present moment but an afflicting detail of the sufferings and calamities of mankind, resulting from the ambition, usurpation, animosities, resentments, piques, intrigues, avarice, rapacity, oppressions, murders, assassinations, and other crimes of the few possessing power? How rare are the instances of a just war? How few of those which are thus denominated have had their existence in a national injury? The personal claims of the sovereign are confounded with the interests of the nation, over which he presides and his private grievances or complaints are transferred to the people, who are thus made the victims of a quarrel in which they have no part until they become principals in it by their sufferings. I mean, he goes on and on about this. And we can, if we get a minute here, we can talk about what war does to a nation. War is the quickest way to change the mores, the values, attitudes, and belief of a nation. War is legalized mass murder in which everyone engages. And it destroys families, not just because of the deaths and separations, but because it resets the values, attitudes, and beliefs. And if a nation goes to war, well, here's what James Madison said later in life. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. That's how serious this is, and we haven't been out of a war, basically, since the United Nations document had ink put on it. It is absolutely absurd. That's where the globalists are taking it. They know they can unseat everything we hold dear if we're compelled to engage in war constantly. And it is absolute idiocy for anybody to say, oh, we got to go to the aid of Ukraine, when Ukraine is poised to go to war with Russia. And that will, the thing that will tip it to that point is where they say, hey, wait a minute, we got Big Brother. He's in back of me. He's going to back me up now. And the United States will be engaged in a war with Russia. So we can't have this happen. We can't allow this to happen. People got to rise up, and everybody's got to step forward and say no over our dead body, because it will be a lot of dead bodies.
All right, so what does war do to a nation? Believe it or not, there's trending on the internet via TikTok, etc., is this headline. You ready, Dr. Scott Bradley?
I'll listen.
The disturbing April the 24th is now considered National Rape Day. TikTok trend explained. So now they're literally saying, hey, you know what? We got a rape to celebrate. We got a rape to stop the white privilege. We got to, and how real it will be, don't know. But the assertion is there. And war and rape from the wicked go hand in hand, Doctor.
Well, again, we're back to what our friend St. George Tucker said. You know, the things that he brought out brought rape out. In fact, it is the most diabolical, every single wickedness in the world, every single one of them. I don't care if it's pain, suffering. I don't care if it's destroyed families. I don't care if it's drug abuse. Every single thing. I mean, you talk about the rape that occurs in every war, and I'm talking about every war. U.S. soldiers are involved, unfortunately, and hopefully we have a higher standard and so on. But clear back through history, I mean, if you haven't read the accounts of the so-called Philippine insurrection, in which the Filipinos were attempting to get out from underneath the oppression of America taking over their country after the Spanish-American War, the soldiers in the field, actually the way they talked about it was cleansing the racial makeup of the Philippines through rape. They were going to purify the race, okay, by fathering children by the women that were native to the Philippines. This is absolutely, I mean, you say, oh, well, no, our nation would never do that. Yeah, our nation does do that. And unfortunately, it's much less rare, I mean, much less an occurrence than, say, for example, the Soviet rape of Berlin when it occurred. I personally know people that were there when that happened. Young girls, 16, 17-year-old girls that were there at that time. It was horrific. So, yeah, this whole thing is diabolical, satanic in its origins.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
40-plus world leaders met virtually Thursday to talk climate change. Chinese President Xi Jinping said his country, the world's largest consumer of coal, will attempt to strictly limit increasing coal consumption over the next 5 years. It should be noted that everything being discussed are non-binding commitments. Sports was a way for Americans to come together. 11-year Army vet Graham Allen tells Fox News the reason for the collapse in ratings at Major League Baseball and the National Basketball Association is because of what Americans want is not what's being delivered.
Sports is supposed to bring Americans together, especially troops overseas. It's this opportunity to just forget about what's going on and just watch the amazing game and the amazing talent of the amazing athletes. Your ratings are going down the drain. Listen to what the American people are actually telling you that they want.
USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. Beef is a staple on tables across the country, from comfort food favorites to the celebratory meal. Beef is what's for dinner. And even as the sustainability conversation increases and carbon footprint concerns make headlines, people can feel good about their favorite protein. The U.S. is the leader in sustainable beef production, with a carbon footprint 10 to 50 times lower than other regions of the world. In fact, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, greenhouse gas from beef cattle only represents 2% of emissions in the U.S. Cattle farmers and ranchers are producing more high-quality beef more sustainably than ever before. Jim Strickland, rancher.
Cattle farmers and ranchers like me are committed to the environment and want to protect our natural resources. I am proud of the role I play in providing high-quality protein in the most sustainable way possible for generations to come.
For more on sustainability information, visit beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
The Georgia Star News is reporting an elections group funded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has donated $5.6 million to the office of Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in the lead-up to the 2020 presidential election. Walter Jones, a spokesman for Raffensperger's office, said that the funds enabled this and local elections offices to combat disinformation. The Georgia legislature passed an election reform bill since the election to ensure election integrity. Senator Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, said at a press conference Thursday that the Democrat push for Washington, D.C. statehood and to pack the U.S. Supreme Court is more of a power grab than doing good by the American people.
The Joe Biden who swore me into the Senate 9 years ago, I don't know where that guy is. I think they got him tied up in a basement somewhere because it's the crazies who are running the ship. But you know what? He is president now, so act like it.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed legislation to make D.C. the country's 51st state. It now heads to the Senate. USA Radio News.
Sadly, in America, ladies and gentlemen, as we become a warlike people, the conquests of war become reality as well. Believe it or not, it's a disturbing TikTok trend. April 24th is National Rape Day. Now, it gets worse because Joe Biden promoting all these illegals coming to the United States, right? Headline from Ben Swan, Truth in Media, is this. A new report's out, 80% of women and girls who come from Mexico to the U.S. raped along the way. This is satanic, doctor, but these are the fruits of what we've turned to instead of God Almighty, sir.
You know, I don't, God's got a lot more patience than I got, and that's a very fortunate event. But there will come a time, it seems to me, where we have ripened in iniquity to the point that something's got to happen. I mean, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul was sent in to wipe out a group of people that had debauched everything sacred to the point that Saul was commanded to kill everybody, men, women, and children, infants, all the animals. And I presume that that's because of bestiality and everything else that was going on, and you just couldn't save any of it. There comes a time when the wrath of God, and wrath is violent anger, if you will. I mean, when the wrath of God is kindled. Now, again, he's patient. He works with us. He reaches out to it. He feels after us. He attempts to say, please, this is how our lives should be lived. He gave us the formula in the Holy Scriptures. That's where the basis of liberty and the American way was discovered. And that's what was brought forth and canonized, if you will, in the Great Charter of the Nation, the United States Constitution, founded upon the principles that we find in the Declaration of Independence. And so they're inextricably woven together. And so those things that were there are being abandoned by so many. Now, again, I have been back and forth across this land so many times and been in the people's homes and spent time with their families and so on. I know there are good and caring Americans. The leadership oftentimes leads people astray. The leadership that we choose, it's an elective process. Those that we put in as our trusted representatives should reflect the values, attitudes, and beliefs that we have. But at this point, only a very, very, very small minority of them are even given consideration to what these things are about. And so, yes, I think America is in for a comeuppance. And by the way, George Mason, during the Constitution Convention of 1787, talked about how nations don't exist in the eternities. And because of that, you can't wait until the eternities to get your reward or punishment. Nations must be rewarded or punished in this life. And that's a truism the American Founding Fathers understood also. And so if we are basing our actions on things that are, you know, unsound, and we are carrying out immoral, illegal, unrighteous things, ultimately and finally, the nation gets called to task. And that's, I mean, you think about the American so-called Civil War. I mean, I think that was a recalibration of America that is still underway right now. I mean, the deconstruction of the South that happened under the radical Republicans, the tyrants in Congress that were there, the effort to militarily occupy a conquered land, the destruction of their society, I mean, everything. And then the pushback that happened when the deconstruction ended and the Jim Crow laws and everything, this is all a continuation of the bizarre stupidity that has afflicted our nation for a century and a half at this point. Actually, more than a century and a half.
Are you going to get vaccinated, doctor?
Well, I certainly have never intended at any time to inflict that violation upon myself or my family. And I think that if people will do their research, will study what's out there, the DNA, the mRNA, it is not a vaccine. It is a medical procedure that is not FDA approved. It has not been studied for efficacy or for safety. It has been rushed through like cyclonic speed. And when you say, oh, wait, we'll go back to normal if we get it. No, there's nothing that says that it'll prevent infection.
That's what
they
told you until... That's what they told you until about 130 million people have already taken the vaccines. Now they're saying, hey, even if you're vaccinated, that changes virtually nothing. Let me give you a couple of tidbits to kind of highlight this. Biden says he will cancel 4th of July events and celebrations. So no 4th of July for you if you don't get vaxxed, my friend.
Biden has canceled liberty in this nation. Now, it's just not him. It's the whole... the buffoons that are in office. You know, the baboons maybe is what we ought to call them. Have you ever watched a troop of baboons on the, you know, out in the Serengeti? I mean, they really are completely, they're beyond barbaric. And again, I always come back to the Paris Commune of 1871 after the Franco-Prussian War, when the commune, a communist commune, attempted to... govern Paris. They found they were completely incapable of so doing. But that's who we have in power today. It's
amen.
I say these things, and people must say, "Oh, you're kind of sugarcoating it." No, I'm really not. No, okay, well, you're overstating it. No, I'm not. This stuff, you can't make it up. They're doing it every single day.
It is insane. You're right about that. So Joe Biden going to cancel 4th of July celebrations unless y'all get vaccinated there. I'm not taking the vax, I'm telling you that. But it gets worse. Because remember how they told us if you got vaccinated, it would all be good and you wouldn't need to wear a mask and society would come back. Now it's turned out to be a big old lie. But get this headline from USA Today. Okay, they always told you what we got to do is we got to get herd immunity. When you do, life will come back, right? They lied again. Here's the headline from USA Today. Is herd immunity possible? Experts increasingly say no. And you want to know who they blame it on? Me and you, because we won't get vaxxed. We'll never have herd immunity now because of you, Scott, because of me. And okay, and they lie. They jettison the natural herd immunity that has occurred in, to stop so many diseases. They lie because they don't even know what the real number of herd immunity is. They lie because they don't even really have the vaccine. The virus isolated. We don't even know that it's a factual real virus because we don't have it isolated. They lie about the safe and effectiveness of the vaccines, etc. All I'm telling you is this is just a flat out fraud on the American people like you have never seen before. It is so shocking. It's a con game. What is the end game, doctor?
Well, that's the real concern, and that I believe that they're moving towards a totalitarian kind of review. I mean, that you have to say the thinning of the herd instead of herd immunity is what they're looking for. They're looking for a, just like the Illuminists did back in the French Revolution, kill off, their intent was to kill off 14 million French people, too many eaters, all those kinds of things. I really do think that the scope and magnitude of this charade, it's charade sounds like fun maybe, I call it the Fauci facade. I don't know how deep the depravity of these people is. And you follow the money and all that kind of stuff. You can say, well, they're making money on it and all this. But there is nothing that you can possibly say is good that's going to come out of this. Now, those of us that have a sense of history and a sense of the repetitiveness of that and how it, you know, the lamp of the past lights our feet in the future, to kind of paraphrase what Patrick Henry said, if some of us go back to, 1976, it's as close as that, when the buffoons at the head, the Gerald Fords, insisted we get vaccinated, a national vaccine program, and 48 million people at that time, which was a pretty big percentage of the population because we had fewer people in the nation at that time, got vaccinated with a vaccine that killed more people than were actually killed by the flu they were attempting to deal with. And it was one of those things with that personal experience, I said, never again, no more, not ever. We are going to rely on the immune system that God gave us. If God calls us home, I'm absolutely serious about this. If God calls us home, you know what? It's a pretty good program he's got going, and I'm absolutely confident that his approach to with love to all of his children will be a pretty spiffy outcome. So, you know, that's where my faith is. I've got a daughter that lives up in Montana, and she says, in a lot of the stores, there's posted, you know, as you come in, faith, not fear, or something like that. And by the way, that's a false god we are worshiping right now. You talked about that at the beginning of the program. The false gods that we are worshiping are physicians, researchers, pharma companies, big business, and the politicians. We are worshiping those as our gods now. And that is the warfare that's being put upon mankind.
You can't leave out celebrities and... Oh, what do they call those things? Stimulus checks? There. No. All right. Quick pause. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, the calm before the storm available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Started out the broadcast talking about the false gods we worship. An incredible article written back in the 70s by Spencer W. Kimball. Go to churchofjesuschrist.org if you want to read that and check it out. I know you may not be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but you know what? It's really valuable discussion points, no doubt. And the general point made, why do we train a man in the art of war? And then call him a patriot. Why have we become a warlike people? And the answer is we've turned our back on God, ladies and gentlemen. When are we to fear? Or what are we to fear if God is with us? That's really an important kind of point to understand. We've dovetailed this war discussion really into this rape discussion because, you know what, 80% of women and girls are raped coming from Mexico to the United States. Of course, Biden says it's just a wonderful thing they're all coming. I think that we need to have a different plan, but that's, I digress. But it's all basically parts of war. And Biden going to cancel your 4th of July celebration so you can't wave the flag and say you're a patriot anymore if you don't get the COVID vaccine. But is herd immunity possible? Experts said yes before. Now they claim no. They don't even know what the numbers are. But the COVID con game is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. And what is the end game, you may ask? The end game, Dr. Bradley, is nothing less than human enslavement and massive depopulation. That's the end game here.
Well, you know, it's been satanic from the beginning to oppose everything godly. I mean, the whole creation of this world, the bodies that God's children have, the idea that that we might have a divine role that ultimately and finally it continues into the eternities. I mean, we're talking about men and women. I mean, it's a gender issue too. I mean, the whole thing, everything goes back to the divine purposes of God. And if you go back to the French Revolution, for example, they were Illuminists. They were from the Bavarian group, the Illuminati. And their intention was to get rid of Christianity. Their intention was to get rid of families. Their intention was to get rid of private property. Their intention was to destroy the stabilizing factors of established government that kept society, you know, kind of functioning. All of these things have been the subsequent efforts of every single one of these revolutionary things that has happened, you know, whether you go up through the, you know, the Jacobins and the Carbonari and the League of Just Men, the communists, you go through the Bolshevik, the Maoist revolutions, you look at the Pol Pot's things, you look at what's going on in a Gramscian kind of way, and we could talk about that at some length, a slice at a time through legislative processes that brings about all of these things. And it's certainly an attack on everything that we hold sacred. And that's where the current individuals that are, you know, claiming leadership roles in this nation are taking us. And it is leading to capture. Yeah.
While the thugs are attacking us, and really this COVID thing is, in my mind, an act of war against the American people and against the people of the world, Biden pledges 50% reduction in greenhouse pollution by 2030. Now using the climate reality as a war, They're literally all in other nations, causing and funding both sides of wars. The military-industrial complex cranked up, as you could not imagine. But while that's all going on, ladies and gentlemen, Willie Nelson's group, you know, the I'm on the road again, I can't wait to get back on the road again, right? That guy, Willie Nelson group, begs Biden to declare 420 a national holiday, Dr. Bradley. You know what 420 is, right?
420. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the great pot smokeout, buddy. It's the smoke pot day. Come on. It's the, you know, answer is 42 day. It's the let's get high day. And they want to make it a national holiday, buddy. Jettison Washington's birthday, but let's get pot smoking day rolling, says Willie Nelson and crew. They want to go ahead and celebrate 420, buddy. That's the nickname for smoke pot and whatever.
How did they pick that day?
Well,
I mean, sometimes people like me always ask, what? Why? You know, I mean, and I guess I'm not really brought into this thing. But no, it's unrelenting. And we do have, it is a day of the anti-hero. Everything that's held up in our face. Where do you find a true hero today? I mean, we talk about people's, heroes work here. Really? Are you kidding me? Do you people know what heroes are? And we, as you say, celebrities are in the midst of this too, where people are constantly paraded before our faces. Here's people that party hardy. They kind of parade between rehab and jail. They have no relationship between marriage and childbearing. And these are the people that are held before our eyes as people that our children are supposed to grow up and emulate, because maybe they can run faster or slam dunk or whatever it is that, you know, we've basically diverted our attention from everything that society was ever created and its intention was. I just am baffled, and we fall for it. Oh, by the way, there was a thing about that I heard on one of your little segues or segment here about how, why is everybody falling away from sports? Why are they not paying attention? Well, some people are starting to say, you know what? They don't reflect my interests, my values. They're politically charged with everything. They're trying to shove down our throats a political statement on every single thing that happens. You know, I don't need to pay my money to do this. I don't need to pay to see it. I don't want to watch it on TV. I don't want to, help the sponsors.
Yeah, Americans are waking up for sure, aren't they?
There are some that are, and I think that it would be really nice if all these multimillionaire spoiled brats ended up basically, you know.
Sidelined.
And yeah, I mean, I think
no
about
question.
What
all right,
we
here's
do
the
with
history you asked for. Ready?
All right.
Both marijuana smokers and non-smokers alike recognize April 20th, or 420 as it's deemed, as a national holiday for cannabis culture. But few actually know how the date got chosen. Some say 420 is code that the police officers use to say marijuana smoking in progress. Others say, no, 420 is Adolf Hitler's birthday. Some say, hey, man, it's a relation to the Bob Dylan song Rainy Day. When number 12 and 35, when you add them up, become 420. But to put it bluntly, those reasons are all bogus. The most credible story, they say, traces 422 a Marin County, California, in 1971, five high school students would basically use the term 421 to, after all school is over, after all the extracurricular activities are over, 420 is the code they would say, 420, buddy. And what it meant is that 420, all that, you know, everything was stopped at school, so now you could go get high. So they would say, hey, man, 420 to each other is code to let's go smoke pot. Anyway,
so at 16, 20 hours every day, they were out back of the shop class smoking dope.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to really say 420, but yeah.
I know, but it's
yes,
4:20 p.m. Okay, all right.
Yes, sir. And so the bottom line is this big old deal. Now you got Willie Nelson leading a group of people that are saying we got to make this a national holiday, buddy.
Well, you know it's strange. And I could tell you a long story about events that we did in September to try and commemorate our Constitution signing. And most people, my understanding that came from that is that most people don't understand the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration, we have strayed so far in our commemorations of those days to the point that they become a beer bust with rock music and fireworks, well, at least for the 4th of July. There's no recognition of that great event, you know, that really tied the birth of our nation to the birth of the Savior.
You know what they're going to push? They're going to push jettisoning of the 4th of July because Joe Biden will shut it down over the cocoa. But you can celebrate 420 and you won't have any vaccine, quote, requirements or restrictions there. That's how they're going to roll with that. Final story before the end of the hour. House passes bill for D.C. statehood, doctor.
Well, you know, we could look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 and find out that the Washington, D.C. was constitutionally established as a completely separate entity, not a state. It was something that they found was necessary. We give you the historical background as to why that was the way it was. And really and truly, I mean, there's so many lessons to be taken out of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 about this establishment of the D.C., but it cannot constitutionally be done. And if it were done by acts of buffoons that sit in chairs in Congress, it would basically, why not New York be a state, or California, or L.A., I guess, California is a state, or Detroit, or Miami, or Dallas. Think of your big communities that have equally larger populations.
My house ought to be a sovereign state, personally.
Well, in so many ways, it
I
really
joke
is.
I joke to make
but,
the point, right?
But the point of the matter is that it's a power grab. It's an attempt to get two more senators on the Dem side and another congressman, and it's simply a power grab to make certain that the Mensheviks are pushed out. Now, Menshevik is
well,
Russian.
Well, then Puerto Rico's next, and the Virgin Islands after that, and we go on and on and on as well, right?
Well, right, but here's the deal. They think, you know, the Bolshevik-Menshevik concept in the early 1900s, the Bolsheviks, Bolshevik means majority in Russian. Menshevik means minority. What they're looking for is a majority of everything so that they can have their way. They don't understand that the limits and bounds of anybody in office and everybody in office is completely limited to those powers delegated within the Constitution. And regardless of the numbers they hold.
Not if you brainwash everybody to believe we're a democracy, then the majority rules, right? See how that all dovetails together? The truth is
well,
we're
that's
a constitutional republic.
No question about that. And this buffoonery, again, that happened because of revisionist historians that say, oh, no, we're a democratic republic. The Founding Fathers never used that term except for as a pejorative. I mean, when Edmund Genet, the French ambassador, tried to start, he did start Democratic Republican clubs in the United States when he came here, Washington and Jefferson spoke eloquently and powerfully against it. The clubs went away. They never were a democratic republic. We are not a democratic republic. But the idea that you can do things with a majority vote is absolutely wrong. The majority of will be won if they're standing with principles. And that's the problem we've got, is Americans have been completely immersed in false philosophies, revisionist history and everything, and we're smoking dope on a day instead of trying to commemorate what this nation was all created about. And if Biden gets rid of the 4th of July by fiat, you know, monarchical decree, I know there are many of us that will be commemorating that day. In fact, I've been requested on to a number of locations, even outside of our state, to be a speaker at some of those events that they're planning across the country at some of those things for the 4th of July to commemorate the birth of our nation, if you will. I know there's a lot of people that are going to be commemorating it anyway.
Amen. I'm one of them, big time God, family, and country where it's at for me. And I say strip the 20. Let's just stick with the 4th, shall we please? And let's be very clear, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way back, though. I know this sounds really negative when you cover some of the shenanigans going on and the rape culture and the war and the you know, all the things they're doing to us. But take courage in your God. He has not forgotten us. Let's not forget him, please. Turn to God Almighty and repent. If we do, he promises us that he will heal our land and protect us. What greater promise could we ask for than that? For Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation, his goal and collegiate series, all found at freedomsrisingsun.com. I'm Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, syndicated by lovingliberty.net. We the people can restore America. You got to get involved and trust in the Almighty God. Will you help us? God save the Republic.